That's good. That is good. Well, I'm glad for a faithful God. Amen. Palm twisted when we're singing that praise God there while you're in front of you. Yeah, we might need him. Yeah, we need him. All right. Good tonight. Good this morning. Good tonight. Ain't the Lord good? You can't beat him. Did I ever tell you, you can't beat him? You really can't beat him. All right. We'll give you some thoughts tonight. We're going to pick up where we left off this morning. And we're just going to give you some thoughts. See, and really not going to see what you think about it. We want you to think about it. All right? It really don't matter what you think about it. You know, we just want you to think about it. All right? And we're going to let the Scripture speak for us. How about that? Let the Scripture speak for us. We got a few things to say, and then we're going to see how it works. What do you think? Everybody all right? Let's pray together. Father, we come. You've warmed our heart tonight. Sure do appreciate it. Lord, it seemed like right when we asked you to do it, you just do it. And appreciate it so much. Appreciate the songs and the congregation singing, the participation. Appreciate the special music, the singing. The songs and Lord, just appreciate you. Appreciate thy wonderful Holy Spirit that dwells inside, Christ in us, hope of glory. Lord, this is not all there is. I'm glad that we got a better day coming, but while we're here, what you give us is amazing, and what you have for others is amazing. And Lord, I pray that we might not be selfish and we might be able to share it and to give it away. And Lord, that others, that many might come to know you. Lord, help us tonight, I pray. Search me out, cleanse me, help me to be the vessel you want me to be tonight. May I preach, teach, whatever it may be this evening for your glory, the way you want it, not the way I want it, but Lord, the way you want it. And may our hearts be changed, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. I believe in missions. I believe in missions for souls. I know there's helps missions as well, and I'm agreeable to that. But I know that the Bible will even say that and teach, you know, that if we see anyone have this need in need of this world's goods, you know, to give them. I understand that, but I believe it's. I would rather somebody be starving and saved as to be full and lost. But I believe in missions. I believe in foreign missions. Man taught me years ago, back in 1982, he taught me that foreign missions was any soul where Christ was foreign, that's foreign missions. And it didn't matter what color they was or what nationality they was, that a lot of times we look at foreign missions as it has to be another country. No, it just needs to be where Christ is foreign to that life. And so we need to look at that. I'm a missionary to Nicholas County, West Virginia. That's where I'm a national. I believe in national missionaries. I'm agreeable to national missions, and I am a national missionary. And so are you. You're a national missionary as well. But I believe in missions. I believe in missions to Africa and Burma and Moldova and Italy and Ukraine and to the Jews. And in fact, that's who we support. That's our missionaries. When we look at full-fledged missionaries, then we got the radio station that reaches everybody. And then we have Christian Law Association that helps everybody. And then we got prison ministries, and then we got ministries to the free that's not in jail. We got ministries to them too, don't we? And I still believe in missions. I believe in reaching the lost. I've tried to reach the lost now for all these years, and I need to be better at it. I need to be more about winning souls. I believe in missions here. I believe in missions in Nicholas County, Fayette County, Braxton County, Clay County, Greenbrier County, that pretty well covers where we're at, where we draw people from. You do realize we have people from all those counties that comes to church. And I believe it's important. I believe in missionaries. I believe we need money for missions. I believe we need money for our missionaries. But I believe we need money for the missions here at the church, money for the ministry. I believe we need buses. I believe we need more room for different ministries, different classes, different outreaches for different classes of people. I believe I'm praying for $4 million at a minimum. I'm praying for that. I'm serious. I'm not joking. I'm praying for a minimum of $4 million. I'd like for you to pray as well because we don't have $4 million. You don't have $4 million to give, do you? If you do, see me after church. Okay? Now, I do understand just how important prayer is and how things can happen. Can I give you a real quick testimony of a truth that happened? And years ago, the Dallas Theological Seminary in Texas was in bad need of money. Bad need. It was tough. And they had a prayer meeting, and Harry Ironsides was in this prayer meeting. Some of the other men, Harry Ironsides used to pastor the Moody Memorial Church in Chicago. He didn't have an education. He was just a preacher. But he wrote books and was a great soul winner and everything. But anyway, he was in on a prayer meeting. They called on him to pray, and he said, "Lord," he said, "you have the cattle on the thousand hills. Sell some. We need some money." That's how he prayed. That's how he prayed. And amen. I mean, and they went on. Well, before the day was over, a rancher in Texas came into the office and said, "I need to speak to whoever was in charge there." I forget who it was now. But he said, "I sold some cattle today. And the Lord said to give all the money. Sold three trailer loads of cattle, and the Lord told me to give the money to the school." And he hollered in there and said, "Hey, Harry," said, "the Lord sold his cattle." And so just want you to know that prayer works, all right? Prayer works. Now, I serve the same God. I don't believe praying for $4 million is any different than praying for a quarter. No, that's just my opinion. All right, so that's how I'm praying, and I ask you to pray. And you say, "Why do you do that?" Well, we need money. We need money for the work, and you ain't got it. We need to give more. I'm sure we probably do better than we do, but nevertheless, we don't have $4 million, and we need a minimum of that. Now, if somebody wants to give 10, we'll not tell them to keep a 6, but we'll take all 10, okay? Now, you say that won't happen. Well, don't pray. If that's how you don't think it'll happen, I don't want you praying. Okay?
Amen.
And don't talk to me about it, because you'll hinder me. All right? Because I'm praying for a minimum of $4 million. Just thought I'd go ahead and tell you. All right? Because I tell you why, we need money for mailing. We need money for tracts. We need money for pamphlets. We need money for Bibles. And then we need money to help other missions. But I'm just talking about what Mountain State Baptist Church needs for Nicholas County, Braxton County, Greenbrier County, Clay County, all right, Fed County. That's what I'm... Okay, everybody with me there? So, and in saying all that, I believe it's necessary. Then we also need workers. You know, one of the prayers that Jesus said that we ought to pray, because the fields are already white to harvest, but the laborers are few, and we need to pray for laborers. You know, it's amazing that we have employees, but no laborers. You know that? And I found that that's the case in every area. You know, we talk about that. The workforce is really low, you know. And whether it be coal mines or whether it be timber or whether it be the fact, whatever it is, the workforce is low. Is that not true?
Oh, yeah.
But it seems like that everybody's working. Well, no, everybody's employed. Yeah. Somebody sent me something the other day, and it was nicknames for employees. And I'm trying to think of some of them. One of them was E.T. They was always wanting to go home. And, you know, that was one of them. One of them was, I forget now. Anyway, it was a lot of sarcasm. I loved it. It was really sarcastic and toward employees. And I'll have to remember more. But some was they didn't show up. They didn't work very much and all these things. But anyway, we got a lot of employees. Now, when I talk about labor, hear me. Teaching the Bible, and I'm not throwing this off of Rick because he's a Sunday school teacher, but teaching the Bible is not just necessarily laboring. Preaching to feed you and keep you fed is not necessarily labor. All right. When we find labor in the Bible, we find labor concerning lost people. When it says that the fields are already white in the harvest, the labors are few, he's not talking about teaching a Sunday school class. He's talking about winning people to Christ. That's what that scripture is concerning. The fields are already white in the harvest. Does everybody understand? So when we talk about laboring for the Lord, if you're not winning souls, anybody ever heard of Andrew Murray, the fella, the big prayer warrior, wrote all the books on prayer? Anybody heard of him? He said that there's two classes of Christians, soul winners and backsliders. Now, let me say that again. He said there was two classes of Christians, soul winners or backsliders. Which are you? Which are you? If I was to ask you, have you ever personally won somebody to Christ? Have you ever personally taken your Bible or even by memory, sat down with a lost person that was lost and convinced them that they was lost? Maybe they was already convinced. But anyway, them being convinced they was lost, that you was able to present them the gospel and lead them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever done that? If you've never done that, why? Why haven't you done it? If you've been saved for 20 years and haven't done that, then why have you not done that? If you've been saved for 10 years, why have you not? If you've been saved for 5 years, why have you not done that? If you've been saved for 40 years, surely you've done that. But if not, why? See, there's. I don't know that I understand the reasoning, and I'm not condemning nobody. I'm just asking questions. All right, these are just some questions that I have. Why? I have found that if I would write on Facebook, I need a recipe for a cake or a brownie or a cookie, then I would get floods of information. I would get floods of people's recipes on how to bake a cake or how to make a cookie. Would you agree to that? Some of y'all would probably send me one. Is that right? Right? But there's people on Facebook and all these other places all the time that are so ignorant and foolish about salvation and nobody sends them the information they need. We have neighbors that would like to borrow a cup of sugar, and we've got more sweet than they can even eat, and we don't never give it to them. I'm just trying to get you to think about some things tonight. Now we're going to look at some scripture, and I don't know that I have a title for this either. Why, who, what, how, when? I don't know. Maybe we're going to teach on adverbs tonight. I don't know how to be. But we're just going to read some scripture. So let's start tonight. Let's just maybe we can title it this. Let's just be a soul winner. Let's just be a soul winner. That'd be a good title tonight. Then Clark's going to sing the invitation. Cheryl, you're going to try to play it. And he's going to sing a special tonight for invitation. And so we're just going to do a lot of things different tonight. He found out this while ago when he went to sit down that he was going to sing. I handed him the song he's going to sing. So everybody can look forward to this. If you'll give me just a few minutes tonight. You ready? Who's running the machine up there? Levi. All right, brother, get ready. We're going to look at some scripture tonight. Matthew 28. Let's look at verse 19. All right. Now, let's be a soul. Why should we be a soul? Why should we be a soul winner? Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Because Jesus said to. Would that be good enough? Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. And I believe that's what Jesus said. What do you think? Now, Matthew records that. Let's see what Mark says about it. How about Mark chapter 16? All right, hang with me now, Levi. We're going to put you to the test, son. All right. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. I know you know these verses, all right, but we're going to look at it in a different light here in a moment. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what he said. You know what he said? How about Luke chapter 14? Matthew says it, Mark says it, Luke says it. How about Matthew chapter 14? How about verse 23? Matthew chapter 14, verse 23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Well, that's simple, ain't it? Huh? That compels reasonable force. Look it up. All right. So Matthew said it, Mark said it, Luke said it. Well, I wonder what John says about it. Maybe John says something about it. John 15. How about John chapter 15? How about verse 16? John chapter 15. Now we can use a lot of other verses, but we're just using these tonight. John chapter 15, verse 16. Said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So he ordained us, that we might bring forth fruit and that our fruit might remain. How about Acts chapter 1? Acts chapter 1. So we got Matthew saying it, Mark saying it, Luke saying it, John saying it. Now Luke's going to say it again. He's repeating what Jesus said. In fact, all the word is Jesus' word. All the word's God's word. All the commas are God's commas, and all the little marks are God's, and it's all his, and we're just going to go ahead and trust all of it. All right, how about Acts chapter 1, verse 8? All right, let's see what it says. He says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the most parts of the earth. So Luke repeats himself and says again what Jesus said. What do you think of that? Is that a good why we ought to do it? How about James? I wonder what Brother James has to say about it. Brother James, you got Hebrews, then James, then 1 Peter. So let's see what James has to say. But how about verse 20? James chapter 5, verse 20. James chapter 5, verse 20. James chapter 5, verse 20 says, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. So now, that's what James said. Now Matthew said it, Mark said it, Luke said it, John said it, Luke says it again, and then James says it. I think maybe the Lord might have something to say about us being soul winners. What do you think?
Yeah.
What are you? Can you agree to that? Now, who does the Lord want to see saved? Now, this is where we got to really concentrate, because we was raised in a prejudiced atmosphere. And whether we like it or not, we have that, the remnants of it, in our mind and our heart, that we're really not for everybody going to heaven. Now, we say it. But I don't know that we really mean it. All right. See, Baptists are good about getting the poor. Do you know that? Baptists are some of the best about getting the down and outers and the ones that nobody fools with. Ain't that a blessing? You know? But you know, they don't fool with the higher ups much. Did you realize that? You know why? Because I think most Baptists are the poor and the down and outers. I'm serious. I think they are. I think, now, I'm not being judgmental, but I think some of the higher ups are Presbyterians and Catholics and Lutherans and things like that, of the more higher echelon, more city, big town church. You know what I mean? And that the Baptist folk, you know, they get the ones that white boogers on the walls and tear the wallpaper off and you know, I'm serious. I mean, that's the kids we get. Is that not true? That's who we get, right? And they don't do that. So, but so we don't go after them because we're a little prejudiced to the higher up. Right? Yeah, ain't no different. How about 2 Peter chapter 3? Who does the Lord want to see saved? 2 Peter chapter 3. Who would the Lord like to have? 2 Peter chapter 3, we read this morning. The Lord is not slack, verse 9, chapter 3, 2 Peter 3, 9. For it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, that's pretty simple to me. You know, I'm working on my college education, but I ain't got it yet. But I understood that. I understood that when I was in free school. All right. How about 1 Timothy? How about 1 Timothy chapter 2? 1 Timothy chapter 2. And let's look at verse 3 and 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So who does the Lord want saved? Everybody. Everybody. All right. I believe it's very plain that the Lord wants all of us. He's even ordained us that we might bring forth fruit and that our fruit might remain. That he's commanded us to go into all the world, preach the gospel, go in the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go out to the highways and hedges, compel him to come in that his house may be full, that we might be witnesses unto him in all Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, all the uttermost parts of the earth. Right? So who does he want us to go to then? He wants everybody to be saved. Amen. I believe that's what the Lord wants. Now, who does the Lord want to do the labor? Well, that's another question. How about, and I believe it'd be an answer, how about 1 Corinthians chapter 15? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And let's look at verse 57 and 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 and 58 says that, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, who's he going to want here? Who's he going to speak to? Anybody here got victory? Amen. Anybody here got victory in Jesus Christ? Amen. Anybody here? We got a handful. All right. So that's who he's talking to. Anybody that's got victory in Jesus Christ. Therefore, because we got victory in Jesus Christ, therefore, my beloved brethren, you be any beloved brethren in here, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, when we talk about labor, it's always talking about soul winning. Now it's the work of the Lord. Okay, and we're not talking about giving a cup of water in his name. That's not what we're talking about. All right, everybody wants to run the verse when we're talking about serving the Lord. Well, if I just give a cup of water, well, you ain't come Saturday and you can give out a cup of water. And we'll give you a tract to go with it. How's that? And you can give them a tract and a cup of water if that's what you want to do. Okay, talk to me now. We still all right. So who's going to be the laborers? I believe he only uses, or he only desires to use the people that have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Although he will use a lost man to bring somebody to the Lord. Yes. I told you about when I first started pastoring. I was pastoring up a Carl, and I've been working on this family, and I've been working on the Mamillion family. They come sometimes, and I've been was working on them and seen several of them saved, and they was working and coming to church, and I'm not being critical about these people. Just, you know, they're the ones that told me. They said, preacher, we love you, we admire what you're doing, but we're not going to help you do nothing. That's what the men of the church come and met me when I first started pastoring. And they're all dead now. The ones that told me that they're all dead and in glory, I reckon. But anyway, they met me outside and they said, can I talk to you just a minute, preacher? I said, sure. And they said, we admire what you're doing, but we're not going to help you. We don't agree with it. We're not going to hinder you, but we don't agree with it. We're not going to help you do nothing. And they didn't. I was there for almost 5 years. They didn't help me a bit. All right. But they was honest about it. We loved them. They loved me. And they went, no problem. I didn't resent them. They didn't resent me. So I just went and won some people that helped me. Right. Okay? So that's how you cure that. But anyway, yeah, I was working on a Ramsey family and trying to get this Ramsey family saved. And one of the young men, Paul McMillan, it comes here some, he was my visiting partner. He was, I don't know, 12, 13 years old. And he was my visiting partner, and we'd visit. And one Sunday night, here he comes up aisle leading Greg Ramsey. They come up aisle, and Greg gets saved. And I was tickled, and I thought, that's great. That 13-year-old boy helped him. Well, the next Sunday, Paul got saved.
Yeah, amen.
All right. Now, he was a lost man, lost boy, bringing his buddy to the Lord, but he didn't know the Lord. So I was just tickled for all of it. I just want you to understand that the Lord will use what he has to, all right? But he would prefer to be those that's got victory. That's who he would prefer to use, all right? So that's the basis of what the Lord wants and who he would use, okay? Now, there's always going to be, well, why should we all be involved? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. So why should we be involved? Let's look at some more scripture. You ready? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's see if we can find some whys. Everybody all right?
Yeah.
Just going to give you a little information. You can mark these in your Bible and always go back to them. All right? I'm not going to get no big way of preaching. Just give you some scripture. All right? Let's look at chapter 5. Let's look at verse 9. Now Paul's going to answer why we labor. Why we labor? Why should we labor? Why do we labor? Why do I labor? Why do we labor? All right. Paul says here, now labor, remember now, when you're looking in labor in the scripture, it's always connected to soul winning. All right. For the labors are few, the fields are white in the harvest, but the labors are few. That's concerning soul winning. Everybody understand that? Here we got labor again. It says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Now, that's not work salvation, but it's meaning being pleasing to the Lord. All right, so why should we be soul winners? Because it pleases the Lord if we're soul winners. It pleases the Lord. Now, listen, let me ask you, would you like to please the Lord? Would you? Wouldn't anybody here would raise your hand and say, I don't ever want to please the Lord? Well, nobody's going to do it. We all want to please the Lord. Well, let me tell you why Paul labored and was a soul winner. He said that I might be accepted, that I might be acceptable or pleasing unto the Lord. That's what he's talking about. So that's one reason. Verse 10 is the second reason. Not only that I might be pleasing to the Lord, be accepted of him, but I'm going to stand in judgment. Said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. So that's another good reason, because we're going to stand in judgment, and it'll be a whole lot better to get a reward as a rebuke. Don't you laugh? Talk to me if you agree with that. That makes sense, don't it? And then the third reason why we ought to be doing it, why we labor, is verse 11. Yes. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Verse 11 says, because of hell. How about that?
Yes.
All right, so we ought to be soul winners, all right, because it's pleasing to the Lord. We ought to be soul winners because we're going to stand in judgment for it. Because we've been told to do it. Okay? We've been told to do it. Everybody's been told to do it. Young people, y'all been told to do it. Old people, you've been told to do it. Middle age, you've been told to do it. Preachers, you've been told. Bashful, you've been told. Extroverts, you've been told. Introverts, you've been told. All right? Everybody's been told to be a soul winner. Okay? That okay? Now, who are we to go to? Now, we know who the Lord wants. Now, who are we responsible for? Who would we be responsible for? Wonder who we would be responsible for. Well, let's go to Romans chapter 10. How about Romans chapter 10, verse 1? Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. How about all of them? Huh? How about all of them? See, Greg, when I told you and Maria that there's 3,000 kids, better than 3,000 kids in Nicholas County, we just wanted all of them. That's what it meant. We want all of them. There are 28,000 in the county. You know how many I want in church? All of them. There's 43,000 in Fayette County. You know how many I want in church? All of them. I forget how many's in Braxton. There ain't that many. It ain't as many as Fayette County and Nichols County, but we just take all of them. How about that? How about we just take all of them in Clay County? Who said, well, you can't have that many people. Why can't we? Is there a limit? Listen, we're not squirrel hunting. There ain't no limit on this. Huh? Limit 6 in squirrels. Huh? Why can't we just get all of them? Why can't we get all of them? I know a church. I know a church that has 5,000 members. Okay? Now, these 5,000 attending members. Okay. Now, in this church, I've never heard it done this way. This is how this pastor does it. He's got 74 preachers. And they've got a bunch of little congregations. And he gathers them up every week and he preaches to them 74 preachers the message he wants them to preach come Sunday. Because he can't preach all of them because they ain't got no room for all the members. So he sends them out and they gather up 50, 100, 300, 500, whatever it takes. And they preach the same message he's preaching at the church he preaches at. And they all got cards. He cards all of them. They all got cards. And when they come to church, the members of the church, they get the card punched. And it may be a blue card, red card, green card, whatever the case may be. And if they show up at a church and they got a different color card, they're took off to the side and said, why are you here?
Yeah.
You got problems with the blue bunch? That's how they do it. They discipline them at that. And they get ready to sing in the choir, and they got to show their card. And if their card hadn't been punched for the past couple of Sundays, they don't sing in the choir. And if they ain't there for a couple of Sundays, they don't teach in the class, and they don't lift the offering, they don't do nothing if their card hadn't been punched. So this one pastor pastors all them 5,000 people. That's pretty good, I think. Huh? What do y'all think about that? What if we start carding you? Greg carded us at youth camp. Marcus carded us at youth camp.
That's
right. Huh? Y'all got your card? Y'all got your card? Got your card? How many of you got your card? Your youth camp, you got your card? Got your card? The others are coming. Mark is supposed to be sending the others and we'll have a regular one. You got your card? I'm asking, anybody got their card? No. Remember, if you we got carded at camp and we signed it at I'll Give All. And if you didn't sign, if they find your card, then they're going to burn it. You don't have it no more. That's what they said. Romans 10:1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they all might be saved. Well, we want them all. We want them all. You agree to that? All people. Well, is that enough? Is that enough? Do we need more explanation? I believe we need more. We still okay? How about Acts chapter 20? How about Acts chapter 20? This is where we get visitation then. There's scripture for what we do. Acts chapter 20. How about we start at verse 19? Acts chapter 20, verse 19. Are we there? Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying weight of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Being taught publicly and from house to house. So that's Walmart, gas station, and from house to house. From Food Line and Kroger's and house to house. That's Potato Festival and house to house. That's county fair and house to house. That all right? That plain enough? So that's, we say, well, how's that who? Well, whoever lives in that house. Whoever calls you on the phone. You know, You know, the Lord has people call you and we don't even answer the phone. The Lord has people call us and they want to talk. And why don't we talk to them? Why don't we say, well, before we talk about our warranty running out, you know the Lord. Huh? Yeah. Before you give me your sales pitch on me buying something that I don't know what it is and you don't have anyway, let me tell you about Jesus. I think Butch and Linda still do this. You know, people send you stuff in the mail with a return envelope.
Yep.
You know, the postage is paid on them return envelopes. You know, you put a trike in them and they're paying for you to give them the gospel. You know that?
Yes, sir.
And instead, we say junk mail. We throw it away. And the Lord give us an opportunity to witness to somebody's going to open that. You know, I'm just saying that it's house to house, publicly and house to house. That there's ways to get the gospel out. Ways to get the gospel. We still okay? So who do we want the labor to get? Well, pretty well everybody. Well, when do we want to do it? When do we want to do it? Well, turn over to in chapter 20 there in Acts and let's look at verse 31. Acts chapter 20, verse 30. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day. How about we just do it night and day? Which night and day? Yeah. That's the one. Every night it's got a day in it, and every day it's got a night in it. Night and day. Is my microphone on? That's when we ought to do it, night and day.
Amen.
Not just Sunday, but night and day. Day and night, night and day. And that's just what the scripture said. Yeah? Now, how do we do it? How do we do it? Well, let's stay right there in that verse. We do it, we warn them, everyone, night and day, with tears. With tears. Probably, sinners ain't going to get too tore up if you ain't. Probably won't be tore up. They probably won't see much concern if you ain't got it. If you're not really broken about them going to hell, I doubt they'll be broken their headed that way. That very seriously. But Paul warned them day and night with tears. And we've already discussed how it was done. We discussed how Paul done it. Of course, now he didn't let circumstance bother him. You know, now he let perils bother him. You know, he didn't like it being in jail. So, no, he didn't see none of that bothered him. In fact, I believe he might have said that none of these things moved me. Nothing moved him. You know, my pastor said one time that the too many church people took that to heart. That nothing moves us. You know, he said that Baptists were like them old rocks down the Meadow River. He said they've been there for years and they never moved. You know, think about it. Well, how do we labor? How about Psalms 126? Clark, you come on. Cheryl, you come here. And we'll give you a copy of this song. Clark, you come here. He may need some accompaniment. Ain't no notes on it or nothing. You just figure it out. Psalms 126. How about verses 5 and 6? They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So that's how we labor. We labor with tears. You don't labor with sweat. You work with the sweat of your face. That's work. That's work. That's that 6 day working like Brother Rick taught us. But we labor with tears. Don't worry about the sweat when you labor. You work for a living with the sweat of your face, but you labor with tears. See, there's the difference. Everybody understand? See, if you work with sweat, if you labor with sweat, you're going to be concerned about being tired. But if you labor with tears, then you won't be tired. Is everybody following me tonight? I'm just giving us some thoughts on let's be a soul winner. I'm giving us some thoughts on how to be a soul winner for here, for our church. That you need to be a soul winner. That everybody can be a soul winner. Talked to a young man Wednesday night downstairs. He said, "Preacher, I want you to know I've been taking my Bible to church or Bible to school every day." I said, "That is great." He said, "I am." He said, "I'm trying, man. It's tough." He said, "It's tough." He said, "I'm taking my Bible to school every day." I said, "That's great. That is great. Really, really tickled you take me by." So young people can be a witness. Young people can be a witness. Let me ask you, how many tonight, I know Steve and Brother Rick, how many has been led to the Lord by a soul winner, not in the church house? If you have been, raise your hand. If you've been saved by a soul winner, not in the church house. All right? Brother Rick, was you saved at home? Hold your hand up. Steve, was you saved in church? But a soul winner come and got you though, correct? Okay, go ahead and raise your hand. All right, so we got how many? We got three? All right. Four? All right. Keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. All right. There's four of you. All right. All right. Well, wait. See? And now, that's wonderful. You can put your hand down. That's great. All right. Now, how many were saved at the church house? Hold your hand up. Well, I'm thankful for church.
Amen.
I'm thankful for that. How many were saved at a youth camp? Hands going up all over. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Hands going up all over. Alright, so I'm glad they were soul winners at youth camp.
Yeah.
Anybody here saved in a cabin at youth camp? Hold your hand up. Alright, see, that's a soul winner, see? Alright, that's good. Alright, anyway. See, everybody's not saved though at church.
Right. That's right.
Alright, everybody ain't. See, we need soul winners. We need soul winners. See, if I go back in my family, alright, when my papa was saved, he was saved at a cottage prayer meeting on a Sunday afternoon. Anybody been to a cottage prayer meeting? That's good. That's good. Not near enough, but it's good. This was a cottage prayer meeting on a Sunday afternoon. Instead of football games on the TV, they had cottage prayer meeting. Okay? And my papa was lost and grandma heard him outside and she went up the door and she said, "Willie, come in and sing me a song." And he didn't want to go in there. He said, "I knew what was going on in there, and I didn't want to go in there." But he went because he was obedient. It was his house. He lived, Grandma lived with him, and he went in. And she said, "Go over and sing. I want you to sing your dad's favorite song." So Papa sung, "When I've Gone the Last Mile of the Way." That's an old-time song. You know, anybody know that? Anybody ever heard that? And he said he made it through the song just fine. And he was getting out of there, headed toward the door. And Grandma said, whoa, wait a minute. Said, "Before you go, you're going to have prayer." And when she prayed, she must have given him the gospel because he said heaven come down. And he knelt down there in that old dirt floor, that log cabin, and got saved. Right. And after that, when my daddy got saved, he was saved on a Sunday night at Cotton Hill Baptist Church. All right, because that soul winner, that one that got saved by a soul winner was preaching and got my daddy saved.
Amen.
Then my daddy got me saved. All right. And I've got to see many people saved, but I didn't get my boy saved. Marcus got saved. Cheryl's daddy was preaching when Marcus got saved on a Wednesday night at Mountain Baptist. All right. Now, Philip got saved under my ministry, but I've got to see many others saved. But I wonder where would all my family be if it hadn't been for a soul winner at Papa's house.
Amen. Yeah.
I think it's important.
Yes.
Let's be soul winner today.
Amen.
Can't make you. See, the Lord's done told us. There's nothing I can say that to make you a soul winner. If the Scripture does not tell us to be a soul winner, then there's nothing I can do. See, Mark's not the one we got to deal with. We're going to have to deal with the Lord. And I'm going to ask you again, have you ever led somebody to the Lord? I don't know of anything any more blessed than to be able to take your Bible or by memory, either one, and see somebody understand they're lost and be saved.
Amen.
I've had people saved here at the altar. I've seen people saved in my office. A lot of people have been saved in the office. A lot of people have been saved in my living room. It's a joy. It's a joy. I like it when they come and you talk to them, but I like it when they're beating your door down, come and said, what must I do to be saved? That's always a joy. Had them saved in the yard. I've told you about Ted Baber getting saved in my yard. Never forget it. Old army man, hard, tough nut. Come sit down, said, I come talk to you about my soul. I'm lost. You tell me what to do, I'll do it. I told him, he said, okay, and he done it. I mean, that's just a cut and dried. He was that, you know, I mean, pretty well that easy. I've seen people saved in the hospital. First man ever led to the Lord was September of that. I personally, it was just me and him, September of 1985. I led Alden Gay White to the Lord in the Veterans Hospital in Beckley. Went to see George O'Dell. Went to visit him. And in the Veterans Hospital, they just had wards. They didn't have the separate rooms. And they was sometimes four beds or six beds in one room. And it just so happened, when I went in, there was two. George O'Dell was in the left-hand bed, and Alden Gay White was in the right-hand bed. I went in there and seen George, talked to him a little bit. And the man was sitting over there in his bed. And I went over and said, sir, can I speak to you? He said, sure. I said, do you know Jesus? He said, listen, I've tried everything. I've tried it all. He was an old man at weapon years. He said, I've tried it all. And he started naming all the stuff I've tried. But have you ever tried Jesus? He looked at me and said, well, no, I've never tried Jesus. And I told him about his sins and being a sinner and told him about the cross. And he sat there in a bed and wept. And I never forget, he so readily accepted the Lord. That was on a Monday. I went back on Thursday. And when I went in, he was sitting in a chair, had on pajama bottoms and a green Dickie work shirt. The workout fit. I'll never forget. He's sitting there with his legs crossed and his shirt was wet. I thought he had spilled something. What it was, he'd been sitting there crying for the last 3 days. He said, I can't quit crying. He said, I'm so happy. He said, I never knowed that I could be this happy. He just enjoying the Lord. He said, I sent my granddaughter home and I got a bird feeder in my building out there. It's all about lapidated. That's been a long time ago. September 1985, been a long time ago. I got that bird feeder. He said, I sent you this. I make bird feeders. And he said, I want you to have this. And I got it. In memory of the first soul ever won to the Lord. Alden Gay White. I went back on Saturday and he was gone. But I'll see him one day.
Amen.
See, you can be a soul winner. You can be a soul winner. I've had many reject. I've had many say no. I've had many try to hurt my feelings. You got to learn that you don't have feelings.
No.
Not like that. You just got to tell people about Jesus.
That's it.
Let's be a soul winner. Now I want you to just close your eyes. And Clark, I want you to sing. Just sing like you did Wednesday.
There is peace and contentment in my Father's house today. Lots of food on his table, and no one is turned away. There is singing and laughter as the hours pass by, but a hush comes the singing as the Father sadly cries. My house is full, but my field is empty. work for me today. It seems my children all want to stay around my table, but no one wants to work in my field. No one wants to work in my field.
Now let's be a soul winner. Why you laugh?
Push away from the table. Look outside the window pane. Just beyond the house of plenty lies a field of golden grain. And it's white unto harvest, but the reapers, where are they? In the house, can't the children hear the father sadly say? My house is full, but my field is empty. Seen my children all want to stay around my table. No one wants to work in my field. No one wants to work in my field.
Really know that.